Hello, we are back, and yes, it is Monday morning. We're back on the Monday, 6 a.m. if you're listening. If you're on your way to work, We are back.
Is that what time, this shows how much I know, is that what time what time is the podcast actually released?
6 a.m, yeah.
So some people be up earlier than that.
Yeah, you'd be surprised the amount of listens that gets in the first 6 hours. People driving to work, people out doing their Monday walk, starting a week the right way, a lot of fitness. Pros will be on the walk early, a lot of boys driving down, there's a couple of boys drive down to Dublin, they'd be listening. I'm
surprised you don't release it like midnight Sunday, because if you're in Australia too, then you're not getting it till Tuesday really, aren't you?
That's a good idea, Tony, that's logical, but don't really do logic. Sometimes I'm only putting the thing up at 3 a.m. on a Sunday morning.
Oh well, fair enough.
I come home from DJ on a Sunday and I'm we don't really edit, but I'm fixing the levels in the podcast and then going to bed.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, and sometimes then, because the schedule's so close to when I'm putting it up, sometimes I just hit it live. Can't schedule it, I just have to put it live because the window is too tight. But we are back on the Monday boil because the last few weeks have been a bit hectic, and yeah, we're back doing it. And thanks for last few podcasts done very well. Back on the charts again, back in the UK charts this time. Didn't do the charts in Ireland, so don't know what's going on there. But all is good. Tony is still sunning himself.
Mexico.
Hopefully the Wi-Fi sticks out. You know what I just came across earlier? Remember when we done the wild anonymous Q&A?
Yes,
that was a year ago this week.
We should do another one, and we'll maybe do that next week.
That was a year ago.
Fucking hell, it's scary how quickly time
it's mad.
It's because as you get older too, the job moves so fast, but it's one of the things where it really does, I think, whenever you take into consideration that it's like, Joe, you know, it doesn't really, like me and mum were talking about this yesterday because I FaceTimed her, like it doesn't really, like nothing really matters. Like, I know that sounds ridiculous.
In the grand scheme of things.
In the grand scheme of things, though, like whenever you think about it, like realistically, like not like everything you're doing that you worry about, like it doesn't really matter. Like what your clothes you're wearing, what shoes you're wearing, like what you're doing on a day to day basis, Joe. And like, don't get me wrong, obviously your career and your family and all do matter. But I mean, in terms of the small nitty gritty things that we get stressed over, like in the grand scheme of things, like at the end of the day, the only real thing you worry about or you stress about is probably because I was reading this thing, it was the other day, I was reading it and was watching it, and it was like the only reason people like fear or don't get stressed or is because they have a fear of time.
Yeah.
They have a fear of time running out, not living life fully. Whereas if you live life fully, you'll actually be able to go into the grave, no issue. It's the problem that people leave things unsaid, people leave things undone, and then they're scared because they haven't lived life to the fullest, because it does feel like it's going to last eternal, but it doesn't. It's going to expire. And the thing is, I don't think people realize that, like, you take the fact you're waking up each day for complete granted. Like I'm like, oh, I'll do that tomorrow, but the thing is, you actually will run out of them. Like, and it seems so easy to say that, I think, when we're in your late teens, you're in your 20s, you're in your 30s, you're in your 40s, you're in your 50s. But the thing is, a lot of people only make it to their 50s. Like, you know, like say there's 3,000 people listening to this podcast, like there's people that are 20 that'll be dead when they're 30, there's people that are 30 that'll be dead when they're 40, and like that's just the odds of the game. Like it's one of the things that people are gonna get cancer, there's gonna be events, and they, like you're listening to this, and like, which is nuts, but like it could be me, it could be Mickey, it could be you. And then I think that urgency is what you need in your life to really move the needle. Do you know, it's not even move the needle, it's to feel more like, Joe. Yeah. Like you'd be like, it sounds odd as fuck, but like I was in the gym, was it yesterday, the day before, it was 2 days ago because yesterday was rest day, going to train, I can't wait. And I was like ticking the boxes session, I was like, nah, put on good music, I vibed, and I just got into flow. And it's been a long time since I've got into flow, and I think it's one of the things where I was like, it just felt unbelievable, because it was like, if this is my last workout, last day, I feel fucking phenomenal, it's where I'd want to be.
Yeah, go out in your terms, sort of thing, you know. A long time ago, I had a conversation with someone, and it's just pretty identical to what you said there now, and it really drilled into my head about having regrets. Don't have regrets, because tomorrow is never a guarantee. nothing is ever a guarantee anymore. So if you can minimize the amount of regrets, at least then when your time comes, you can say you did it, you did what you wanted to do, and you did it in your terms. And one of them big things was learning to say no to things you don't want to do and say yes to more things that you do want to do. And that was that. And since, I'd say that was 2018, late maybe 2019, that is the way I've sort of did everything. And it's, there's something very freeing about having that mindset. More so saying no to things you don't want to do. Because there's nothing in life that brings you down than stuff you just do not want to do.
I think there's that mix. It's like, it's you can,
sometimes you can bend. I think you,
I'm not saying that, but I'm not, I don't mean doing stuff you don't want to do, like, you know, like a job, you know, like stuff like that you're doing it for other people or whatever. I mean, like, you're saying you'll do something or you're doing something that makes you physically unhappy. Not that something you're like, I can't be arsed. Something that makes you physically unhappy or making your life physically tough or mentally tough, or, you know, you're being sort of made do something. That's the sort of thing I'm talking about. Like, it's okay to say no. It's okay to wait for a better offer. You know, mindset wise, maybe it's Irish British thing for years ago. It used to be, oh, that's a really good offer, take that offer. And you're like, I don't know, I might hold out and see if anything better comes along. People are getting a wee bit better at that there.
Yeah, I agree. I think people have got better at it, but the problem is it's just re-emphasizing, like, not just saying no, not just saying yes, but like actually, I think a bit more effort into how each day rolls usually makes a difference. Like, I think starting your week with planning the fun first is very, very key. Like, for me, I always try and plan in, like, what I'm going to do that week for fun. Like, what is the thing that's going to make that week? Because the weeks roll into months, and then before you know it, you haven't been on holidays, you haven't planned anything, you haven't even fucking done anything at your weekends. And it's one of the things where I think that's where you'd be like, oh, fuck me, you know, time just passes. Where, like, it's not hard to turn around. Like, if I'm in Newry, I turn around and be like, all right, on Saturday, I want to go up to the North Coast, go on the beach and get a nice meal out. And it sounds so simple, but if you don't actually put that in as your fun, you've not looked forward to it. And then the weeks just roll, and it's just one of the things where the time passes, and then you're like, oh, well, I feel a wee bit off. I don't feel as good, because you're letting the day run you rather than you pick what you want. So, like, I always plan, like, it sounds so basic, but I'm always like, right, and Sunday is not just my day off. This is what I'm planning on doing. Like, I'm planning, we always go for a family walk on a Sunday and then go for coffee. And it sounds real basic, but usually I'm just like, right, let's at least mix up the place so it doesn't turn too routine. And then when you mix up the place, you eat somewhere different, then there's a wee bit of different crack. And it, like, for me, it sounds so so, but that's a real highlight for me. Like, I get a good laugh in my ones, even if we just go fucking to Saint Valley and I see the ducks, my ones going like lunatics. But it spices things up. Like, even here, I'm just like, right, well, what am I going to do on the Saturday? Am I going to chill out? Am I going to do this? I'm going to do that. And it's, I think it's there's not that there's not a planning, but you almost, people expect, like, oh, it'll just pick up. And that's where people turn around then and go, and I've seen before, oh, there's nothing to do. And that's my pet hate. Like, there's so much to do.
Yeah.
It's just your choice. And, like, don't get me wrong, people be like, well, he's a hypocrite, he's in Mexico. The main reason I'm traveling is just, honestly, to get one sun, obviously, which helps everything, because Ireland summer's been a bit muck. But it's actually just because I don't think at home is the where I need to be for what I'm doing now. It needs to be mix and matching content, ideas for growth. All that's key, and then floating back and forth. Plus, I just want to see, do I want to live anywhere long term before I sort of settle down? So I've been sort of going from one place to the next. Like, you'll notice the places I'm going aren't just like backpack holidays. Like, I'm picking places and I'm living for a wee bit of time to see, do I want to move there?
Yeah. Well, that's, and it's also the fact that you can do it. You have the freedom to do it. No,
that's it. It opens up your travel, opens up, as much as people don't like it. Like, when you change environment so often, like every month, it opens up your perspective, and your perception,
and it makes you feel. You know, I said it about Sydney. I said it about Australia. Traveling gives you a better outlook on all forms of life. It makes you appreciate home more. But it also can make you appreciate that home is where the heart is, but home mightn't be where you need to be for that period of your life. you know, to give you the greatest chance in whatever job you're doing or whatever you want to do, being based in at home may not be the best option. The best option for you or for your career could be somewhere else. Mightn't be a long-term thing, maybe a 10-year thing, might be until you're ready to settle down and then you can come home. A lot of people do that in Australia more and more. I see people, you know, settling in Ireland but kind of carving their way in Australia and carving their way in New York. But if you don't like take that chance and see these things, but no, I'm not talking like go backpack, I'm just talking about like spend a year in these places or spend, you know, 3-4 months in these places, you'll not know if it's for you, because it might not be. Yeah. Like some people just love home life. They love being around the family, they love the GAA, they love their community, they love their village. But then other people are in, like they're there and they love it, but they want to like adventure more and find out if, you know, the big bad world out there, what it can offer them and what they can offer the big bad world. And that's where you're in a lucky place where, you know, you've got your you know, you've done well in what you're doing, and you've got your properties, you've got the fitness, you've got the app, you've got the mentorship, where you have that flexibility at the moment to go and see if living in Mexico or Hawaii or LA or Dubai or Marbella could be for you. You could come back and go, you know what, nah, it's Newry's, Newry's my spot. And there's nothing wrong with that, because you've given it a fair whack. But if you're, it'd be different if you were just sitting on your sofa looking at TikToks, looking at videos, going, nah, don't think I like that. That's not for me.
Yeah, exactly.
No, who's no, to say? Who's to say?
Is, home's perfect. I love Ireland. I love everything about it. The only thing that makes Ireland a bit annoying is just the weather for doing anything. I find that when I wake up with like just more light, I'm just not happier, but I'm just in more, there's, like, for example, last night was the very first time since I've left Spain, so that's about 6 weeks. And even in Spain, I only turned on the telly on a Saturday or Sunday night, depending on what it was. Like, last night was the first time I turned on the telly in about 6 weeks, and I find that very refreshing.
Yeah, it's definitely a good sign. It's definitely a good sign. No, TV is... No, it's the dream killer, as they say. Procrastination, isn't it? It's like...
I've missed absolutely none at all. And on top of that, like, I was sitting there last night and I was like, right, well, I'll watch something and I'll order something because I haven't sat in fucking ages and watched something. And I was like, do you know what? Actually, fuck this. Turned it back off after about 10 minutes. I was like, I'm going to go down and eat that way, the local food court, and eat out instead of ordering, because I was like, that's better. It's more social. So I went down to a wee peppy spot, and then I was sitting there. You're sitting on a stool, eating your dinner, like a stool on a wee fucking kid's bench with three Mexicans and a... two girls from like LA and another girl from like, I don't know where she was, but she's from the States, and you're just having like small chat, you know, as you're eating. But the thing is, like, you don't know where that can lead. You don't know the crack. It's also just good to be out and about. But the thing is, like, my dinner there was fucking nuts. Like, I got fucking, don't know if anybody ever ate, like, in Mexico, I'm just gonna be honest, like, every restaurant on every corner serves the Mexican stuff. So they serve either tacos, right? I didn't know what I knew what tacos were, obviously. Serve tacos, right? And then they serve gringas, which is just like a large tortilla with the meat and then cheese on the other side. So the cheese almost forms like a different side of the tortilla.
Yeah.
They serve tortas, which is pretty much just a sandwich variation of that.
Yeah.
And then they serve gringa, torta, and then they serve, is it I don't know what it is. The serving of a variation where it's literally just, it's very, very similar to the fucking other ones. It just depends how the tortilla is fucking fried. But the thing is, like, I got some meat. I got a steak taco, a shrimp taco, a chicken taco, then a massive chicken gringa wrap, and another shrimp taco, and another shrimp taco. So five tacos all out there, right? And I was like, this is going to be a fort. Because I was like, I need to load in the calories because I'm off. So I was eyeballing it. And he was like dead on. He was tied up in his head, and I could see him. And I was like, fuck, it's going to be a fortune, even at the food court. And he was like, yeah, each taco is 50 pesos. And I was like, that's literally £2. So I was like, right, there's a tenner for them tacos. And he was like, the gringa. He was like, nah, don't worry. And I was like, a tenner. I was like, a tenner for all this. And there was, I'm not even joking when I mean it, there was 100 grams protein minimum there. Like, back home, you wouldn't even be able to buy that stuff raw to cook for that. Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was in, and the thing is, I was there the night before. He gave me a gringa free last, and the thing is, then they're all laughing, having a crack, because I'm obviously eating so much compared to other people. The fact is, like, it shows you, like, most people there would only be getting like three tacos, and that'd be like literally their £5, and that'll be your dinner. And it's a very interesting dynamic. Now, you can go into restaurants here, and the funniest thing is, like, if you go into the Italians, they still serve, no matter what, on the main, on every main, there's gringas, tacos. The Mexican stuff, which is funny, but I mean, it's, the food here is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Like very, very, I found that stateside and Mexico here, the food is, it's fucking very, very good.
Yeah. No, they will definitely, because they need to have good food for the tourists.
There's fuck all protein though in the shops and all. Like you can't be getting, yeah, we're picking up a protein bar, a protein shake anywhere. Like, you're like, no. I had to buy a tub of whey.
What, like, get it posted over?
No, like, I had to go into the gym and, like, specifically go there for the whey protein. And the thing is, like, they've only got one type, and, like, everything else is, like, Joe, there's, it's not, like, that sort of culture. Whereas, like, do you know, at home, you could go in and pick up, like, a barbell or pick up a fill, or even in the States, you can't. It's not like that here. Like, it's not, like, commercialized at all in terms of, like, all that sort of stuff. Like, all the shops are really small. It's not really a big supermarket place. It's interesting.
I was actually surprised America didn't have as many protein bars. Ireland's fucking nearly OTT at the minute.
Yeah, it is. Joe,
every shop in Ireland's fucking mantle with protein bars now.
Hey, before we dive into that, anyone that is listening as well, this is not a plug, I'm just being honest. The app will probably be live. If you're listening nice and early, the app will be live around 12 noon on the Monday here. I reckon it'll sell out within 2 to 3 hours. We're not too sure. So if you are listening, just try and get on that. If you do listen to the podcast and you contact me within like a decent time period, if it does, I'll see what I can do. Just quote the podcast.
Give a that's for anybody's. Password muscle hustle.
Password muscle hustle. And if you message me that, I'll try and look out for you and see what I can do. But usually I close the doors, but if I know you're a bit of a long-term listener, you've been maybe sharing it in your story, I'll look after you and maybe slide you in.
Slide you into the number one fitness app in Uri.
The only one that's fucking, do you know what? I'm fucking doubling down. I'm looking at bringing in a chef and all for it now, so I think that'll be epic.
A chef?
Yeah, I'm looking at bringing in like somebody to help with cooking lessons and stuff, you know, just to level it up.
Fuck, that's a good idea.
I think that would be good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's bound to be some good ones about, like, no, like actual like boys that do the fitness sort of stuff. That'll be good.
If there's anyone listening that's a chef and wants to, like, the problem is you have to video yourself, so you need to have a decent setup where you're not just fucking throwing on your phone. Like, you need to have a kitchen and you'd be filming, Joe. Not recipes, but like, it's simple things. I wanted somebody to come in and be like, how to make chicken and rice in bulk, easy but tasty. Do you know, simple things like that.
Some of the notorious boys could help with that, probably. They have a nice kitchen setup.
Yeah, well, like, I'm fucking useless, but it would be good for me even do like a meal prep series like that. But the problem is, you end up just making reels for Instagram rather than like full cooking things. Nobody wants to watch, though.
Not anymore. No. I used to be a wild man for consuming content on YouTube. Hard to get through a vlog now. I'm not lady. Depending on who the person is, it's hard to get through the vlog. It's hard to get through it. But that is actually a good idea with the food. So for in the app, do you get a meal plan?
Yeah, there's meal plan examples. There's like three variations for every calorie range, from 1200 calories all the way up to 4000. It teaches you how it, the thing is, it gives you your training plan based on your gym and that, and then there's always alternatives and stuff. But the thing, the beauty about the nutrition is, the option when building it for it to spit out a meal plan and just like that's it. And but I actually was like, no, that doesn't solve the problem of what everybody's doing. I need to educate you. So what it does is gives you a meal plan, but it also teaches you how to work out your macros. So it actually teaches you how to work out your calories and your macros, like how I would do it, or how the app would do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I just want to show them the hood. So like, all you do is you just input the data and then you get the math back. So you actually know where to go to get your calories and all. So you could actually, the reason I've done the nutrition like this is because you could actually coach somebody else off the back of it.
Yeah. Joe, yeah, like, yeah.
you could buy the app, right? This may be on the street. You could buy the app, and fair enough, your friends probably not going to be able to use it because it'll only let you log in one thing, but you could do the nutrition for you and them and get two different maps and do their nutrition with you. Then it teaches you how to check yourself in just like a coach would. And then I'm there for the accountability in the Facebook group contacting you. So the thing is, it pretty much is very close to the one-to-one service you would get, but the difference is you don't get me doing the changes, but it teaches you how I do them. So the thing is, like, see, if you were even a coach and you're unsure how to coach, it fucking would teach you everything. It's fucking gold.
Yeah. I took a glimpse around it at the start. It's fucking brilliant. Like, it's because I've been coached by you, so I know that.
I want to level it up. Like, I want to keep adding it, but yeah. It's one of the things where the content's been a hard push now. So I think adding the chef would be a good game. I'm going to add in more cash prizes. I have two of the winners from the last event that haven't even, or the last up intake I haven't even fucking announced. But I do think just that idea of like, I've been debating it the last while. I was even saying to Mickey here, I wasn't sure whether he was going to do monthly or 3 months or what way to work it and do. It's one of the things where I'm just deciding on that right now.
Well, the 3 months would also be good for accountability, I believe.
I think it locks people in. I think monthly, you know, there's a way out. I think 3 months is the way I'm going to go. So you sign up for 3 months, and in that way, you know, you're not fucking about. Whereas people sign up monthly, and then, you know, you do one month goes poorly and it rolls it. Whereas I think when you lock in, it gives the headspace right, and it's fucking pennies anyway. It's going to be charging somewhere around about, it was 35 for the first. For the first 9 months now we're coming up to almost a year launch, so and I'm adding more to it, so I am going to probably bring it up to probably in round, it was 35 a month, so probably looking to bring it up to about £40 for the 3 months times three, so that's what in around 119-129. I haven't decided on price, but like, stay, let's see where your training plan, like I would have paid, see when I was starting off, like I would have paid maybe £100 just for a training plan, never mind everything else. So
yeah,
we'll see how things go anyway.
When you go into it, you can go like, I'm either bulking, I'm cutting.
Yeah, well, like the thing is, the main thing that mainly changes, like somebody wrote in the other weekend of being like, Joe, you know, my training plan, like I finished dieting and I went from like dieting to bulking and the training plan didn't change. And I was like, yeah, it wouldn't if I was coaching you one-to-one, because one, you need to wash off the diet fatigue, and then two, it's not the training that usually needs to change massively in a surplus. It's especially for the training age that these people are at. Like, if you're in the app, you're probably in your first 3-4 years. You're probably either starting off or you're a decent lifter. You're not like super, super advanced, like where you need volume periodization. You just need to focus on getting stronger, and the surplus will do that. So, and then I gave out some of the splits Joe was running with me in the Facebook group. So, like, I can't program some things where it adds, you know, sets week upon week upon week, the app just has a meltdown, like,
yeah.
So I was like, look, that can't go in there because this needs adjusted weekly. So, like, I'm also leveling up in that sense. Like, I don't want to plug and fucking melt people, but it's a very interesting dynamic because it gives people, the only reason it's there is it gives people that easy way of signing on board it with coaching if they can't afford it or they don't want to spend that amount of money, or you're looking at a bit more of a relaxed approach. But anyway, look, dive back into the protein bars. I do think it is a bit fucking overloading on them at the minute in Northern Ireland. Like, there's so many. What do you think is the nicest one? You still a Quest man?
If you're in the
Oreo one's not bad.
Oreo grenade.
It is good, yeah.
Did you dislike it the first time, did you?
The first one, I bought two, so I had one, and it was shite, and I was like, nope. And then I had a second one, and I was like, ooh, this isn't bad.
I have two different ways of looking at it. So if you're dieting, you need a protein bar that'll make you feel kind of full.
That's a PhD bar, in my opinion.
PhD white chocolate blondie, is it?
Yeah, because it's big. It's the bigger one. The
Quest one is good for that because you're chewing like a fucking idiot. But
yeah, it's like a Quest and Fulfilled. Don't get me wrong.
Salted caramel grenade is hard to beat.
They're nice, but the problem is they go so fast.
Like it's like
200 calories too. Like that is a full. You get a chicken salad for that. Like
it's like the Rice Krispie square before the gym. It's too easy yet.
They're not. See, the problem is I'm going to be straight.
That's a wee carb. That's just a wee carb hit, isn't it?
Yeah, like I don't know what people really like. See, I think that's stuff. Like, don't get me wrong. If you're fasted in the morning, you haven't ate, a protein shake and that is like one of your meals. But the problem is, like, that is a full meal worth of calories. If you're a dad, and I don't give a fuck what you say, like, that is difficult because it's going to pull. Like, say you have a anybody that's common sense, don't be fucking taking 20 grams of protein, take 30 grams. So say you have a scoop and a half, there's 150 calories of protein, right? Whey. And you have a squash bar, there's 120, there's 370 calories. Now, that's not much, but like, you could have a full chicken salad, as we're saying, or meat and veg and a bit of fruit there, like
omelet.
That's sort of the way, like, for me, like, I tend to lean towards more things I'm going to feel. That's one of the reasons why, like, if you notice in some of my videos on Instagram, like, some of them I look shredded, and then some you're like, fuck, he's actually got no abs. And that's because the amount of volume of food I eat is fucking nuts, because I need to stay full. Like, it's taken me, see the bodybuilding show me, like, it's just something I don't know. I think, like, the more and more that I lean away from it now, the more I'm like, fuck, that actually near gave me an eating disorder. Like, I see the amount of hunger I still have off the back of that, how long it's taken me to wipe off food focus. If anybody's ever died of that extreme, like, I'm not talking about, like, see, as soon as you finish a meal, you're like, right, what time's my next meal? You have to time them all because you're so fucking hungry. It's intense. Like, it's one of the things where shoot prep, easy as fuck. I'm not saying bodybuilding prep is a different beast. It's fucking intense. And it's one of the things, it actually took me, I would say, as long as I was dieting there, about 4 months I dieted for it. It's taken me the full 4 months after to wipe off the fatigue in my legs, in my head, in my hunger signaling, build my calories up. Like, that's 8 months of your fucking year there. Like, and then most people be like, right, couple months here to build a bit of muscle, and then
you didn't compete back. 8 months ago, did you?
No, I competed April 29th, and now it's August, pretty much 29th. You know, like, that's fucking, you've got May, June, July, or like, that's pretty much 4 months. And the thing is, I don't really see it as like I see it as a glamorized sport that really does need its fucking wings clipped a bit now from being on the inside of it, because I'm all for, you know, your pro car and you're chasing it, and it's a passion and all that there, and it gives you purpose, which is unreal. And it really pulled me out of a dark hole. So the work ethic has transferred across really, really nicely. So there is so many pros that, like, if you can do that, you can literally do anything, because the work ethic's disgusting, because it's 24/7. It's, you know, up at 5 for 90 minute steps into your cardio, and then you're eating all day, then you're fucking having to do more steps, more weights. It's just demanding 7 days a week. It's one of the things where it builds that work ethic, which was insane. But I also think it's just so extreme, and you actually, it took away, like, especially the last 3 to 4 weeks, it hit a stage where it started to take away more and more from my life. I would say the last 6 to 8 weeks of it, added to it. At that stage, my work ethic was built. I was ready to go back to normal. Versus, I think people get caught in the loop of always competing more. And don't get me wrong, I don't think there's anything off with that. But I think you sometimes have to ask yourself, am I walking this path? And is it right anymore, or am I just walking it because I've always walked it? And that's the same with, like, your career, your job, what makes you happy. Like, what makes you happy in your 20s is not what's going to make you happy in your 30s. Like, really good example is this. Like, I never thought that whenever I was in my early 20s, I'd be the sort of person that would enjoy sitting in, relaxing with good food and watching a movie with my family. Like, I thought I'd be out every weekend. And I assume as you're older and if you've got kids, like, a Saturday night relaxing with them, watching fucking Finding Nemo, it actually brings you joy, you know. So it's one of the things I think you need to ask yourself, what are you doing, and is it truly making you happy? And then, like, I didn't enjoy my training when I was dating, and like, I love my training, and it's only really come back now, and I don't know if I could go for another spell where I don't enjoy something like that. Like, I'm all for the grind, I'm all for the discipline, but you have to be enjoying your life. Like, life is so short.
That's we had this conversation when we were talking about you doing, remember you done the first one, you're meant to do a second and third or whatever. But it's definitely not, it's not healthy in any way, but it was never meant to be healthy. It's an extreme sport by all accounts. You're bringing your body to extreme measures, and to get to extreme measures, you have to do extreme things. Like, the diet is fucking extreme. The things like the 5 a.m. steps just to get them in is extreme as fuck. You probably can't really have much of a social life. You can, but it's not going to be fun for anybody. It's not going to be fun for the people around you. It's not going to be fun for you. Your sleeping starts to hurt after a while. And then what people forget about is after the stage, which you just talked about, the 4 months after, where you're doing it the smart way, but you see so many people jump off stage and fucking cram shit down their throat and then put up videos going, I put on 25 pounds in 3 days after my show. You're just like, you have an eating disorder. No, it's tough. It's a tough thing. And you see young boys getting into it now and you're just like, is this just a phase? Do you really want to do it? You know,
like every fucking Tom, Dick and Harry's an online coach now too. Like,
yeah, you know. And it's tough. And that's not even talking about what it does to females' systems. I know a girl years ago, a girl from Oma, did a competition and she's never been right since.
Yeah, that happens. It's one of the things where
she's never been right.
It definitely takes a toll. Like, yeah. I do think it took a toll even on like my overall love for it, and it's only really came back now since I've been away. And it's one of the things where it takes that. And the problem is, some people do push the gauntlet, and I think that is the sort of case, you know, where you can even do that with anything. You push it too much and then you have to dial back. So it is one of the things where you just need to be mindful of it. But it sort of rolls into that like idea of like feeling like there's always more time, you know. Like, that's one of the reasons why I cut. Like, people are like, me, you're fucking stage lean, why didn't you do more fucking shows? I could be back to stage lean in a couple of weeks if I really wanted, because I've held that. I'm at 80 kilos now. I was at stage weight for fucking 76 or something. Like, it'd be easy as fuck for me to rip off a couple of kilos. But it's one of the things of like,
do you weigh yourself every morning?
What do you say?
Do you weigh yourself every morning?
Every morning.
And would you, do you think that's,
I bring scales with me.
Do you think that's good for accountability?
I think it's great, especially for, well, it's, the thing is too, like, it's one of the things where, like, I am not emotional at all with scale weight because I've done it so much. Like, I know it spikes, I know it goes up and down. But the thing is as well, you need to remember, I am eating out pretty much every single meal. Like, so I'm eyeballing my calories. So the thing is, if I get a couple of high days of weigh-ins, then I can just bring my calories slightly down that day and eyeball a bit lower.
Yeah.
If I'm starting to weigh a bit heavier, I'll just start eating a bit more. If I weigh a bit lighter, I'll start eating a bit more because I know what I roughly want to gain per week. So I can almost auto-regulate that day on day.
Yeah. I had this conversation with a guy in New York, a fitness guy. And I was saying about, I believe weighing yourself every day is a good thing. And he was like, why is that? And I was like, because I've been there and I've weighed myself weekly in check-ins. And there's nothing as bad as weighing yourself weekly and fucking freaking out. But if I know every day I can make wee small like internal decisions, like I'm going to eat a wee bit less today. Not like anything significantly less, but a wee bit less, or I might move a wee bit more. Because yesterday I know I took too much out of it, or vice versa. And he was like, yeah, that makes kind of sense. But he goes, you know, the weekly. And I was like, yeah, but I've been there on that Monday morning looking at the scales going, fuck, I can't do this. Because I know this is going to be a bad thing. So I would rather do it every day and then lose the relationship with the scales. Then it just becomes a number and it just becomes second nature where you're not... It's not deterring your emotions. You're not emotionally attached to the scale. You're just, it's just a form of data. It's the same as, you know, anything else that's their form of data. You know, you're just looking at it going, oh, I overdid it a wee bit yesterday. Laugh about it and then fix it. Same as your bank balance. A lot of people are afraid to look at their bank balance when they have a heavy weekend. Fucking look at your bank balance. Just look at it, because it's better to know where you stand and where you don't. You never know. You could flop on a fucking bill. You could get a black mark against your account. Next time you go, you're going for a mortgage, you're going for finance, they go, there's a wee black mark against your account. You're like, oh shit, yeah, I went to Ibiza with the boys, spent a wee bit too much money and refused to look at the bank then that week and I failed on a direct debit. You know, it's better the devil you know than the devil you don't. Same way as when you're sick. Same way as you find a lump in your balls. Get it seen about. Rather than go, you know what, it's just a wee fucking ingrown hair or whatever. We'll not worry about it. Don't just go and get it seen or do something about it, and then you know, just the same as weighing yourself in the morning after a big night out. And then you know in your head, you go, you know what, if I go in the bender with the boys and you're cutting weight, I'm going to put on half a kilo or whatever. So you know the time comes when you have to go with the stag do, you're going to go, right, this stag do is going to cost me half a kilo or whatever. I'm going to put on this and I'm ready to put on this. but I know the work I'm going to have to do after, or vice versa. You know, it's better to know what a bad night out does to you than just bury your head in the sand and go, fuck it, I'm not even looking at this kid, I'm not weighing in this week, I'm not checking in this week. I've been guilty of that before. But I think if you're in control of all the controllables, why not just weigh yourself every morning out of habit, and don't be annoyed about the scale says, just do something to fix it. If it's a tiny thing.
Yeah, it's one of them things where sometimes you have to give it multiple days too, because you can just get a high weigh in. Like,
floating weight, isn't it?
Yeah, like the thing is, you need to give yourself a bye ball too, because sometimes you can be stressed, you can be sleeping off.
And you know what?
All that can come
weighs more than you think.
Yeah, so all that does add up over time. So it's one of the things where you also can't be like, oh my God, I weighed heavier, I'm just going to massively undereat. Just stick to your calories and just realize that you'll fluctuate, you know, stress, water weight, sleep, what you ate yesterday. Like, sometimes it's not even the calories. Sometimes if you just have like a high volume meal, like if you haven't taken a fucking shit, you can weigh heavier. It's one of the things where that's one of the beautiful things about having somebody else guide you in that, because if it's a one-off weigh-in, people shite themselves. It's like when people are dieting and all of a sudden they get a heavy weigh-in, they're like, oh my God, this is wrong. Doesn't have a clue. It's usually just everything is just consistency and time and mindset, and it's one of the things where we walk that. This is a bit of a coaching podcast, to be honest. It's
going
to
be a bit of a coach. But the other thing is too, like, never underestimate how much a bad night's sleep can make you weigh more.
Or feel bad. I think one of the things I want to highlight with this too is, see all that stuff we were talking about at the start, I think the reason it's rolled in this about the not being not grateful, but taking things for granted, taking time for granted. Like, you don't have the energy unless you're reinvesting it back in yourself. And this isn't like, oh, sign up the app, but it's not what it's about. It's in terms of you don't have the energy to give in to planning your fun for the weekend if you're so drained from the week and you're never filling up your own cup. Like, see, for me, my own training, that is all me filling up my own cup.
Yeah,
my Opal app blocker goes on when I'm training. I get in flow, good music, good pump, feel far more
confident. You say good music.
I love music.
What are we talking about here? Because you've had some fucking dicey enough gym decisions in your music.
The last week or two, I will give you I've got a couple of crackers here on my Spotify, and I'll give you the names of them. So I've been listening to Welshy Arms.
Welshy Arms?
Welshy Arms. It's Welshy Arms' legendary EP. It's on Spotify. The only one, Welshy Arms.
What's that? Jazz music?
No. It's like the score. It's like a proper gym tune. Like,
all right.
No Church in the Wild is my gym tune at the minute.
Good song. It's a good battle song.
That is my gym song at the minute. There is also some mad shit. Now, there's a lot of Drake. There's the fucking Andrew Tate song. I know, seriously. More Than a Feeling by Boston. Put on Kanye West. If anybody wants my Spotify playlist, I'm almost sure you can just... Yeah, I'm not too sure if you can see my liked songs, but that's the one I've been using. I'll make a playlist. That's going to be one of my reels. For the next couple of weeks, I have like, you know, one gym tip that you're not using, and I do think it's underutilized, is like having an unbelievable playlist.
Yeah. You know what, you don't like this, but I like this. I like a good, see, when you're doing, I go on the walker for like 5-10 minutes just to get the blood flowing, just, you know, to wake up, because normally I'm, from the moment I get to the gym, from the time I wake up, there's not a lot of time. Like, it's just up, shower, change, car, gym. So I like to get the old joints, you know. I'm kind of still in my prime just about, so the joints are getting a wee bit. I like to listen to like some sort of talking, be it like a speech by Denzel or just something random, and then straight into the gym playlist.
I think that's good though. I think like you just need your own wee routine.
Yeah, I need something. Energy. I need something to like lock me in, and if it's someone talking where I want to listen, I'm like, yeah. Oh, forgot to tell. I'll tell you off here, actually. Yeah, I like that. And then the gym, because you know what? Most gyms play absolutely fucking shocking music. And if you don't have headphones on, people are more likely going to talk to you. And that's another fucking training wrecker. When people start having conversations, and you want to get in, you want to get out, or you want to keep your rest periods, or you want to put in as much effort as possible, people start, like, it's all right, you know, you don't chat a couple of words, but see when people, like, lean against the machine and start, like, a full-scale conversation, ah, I can't have that. Can't have that. You're there for a purpose, like, you're there for an old purpose, and just come in and get it done. We can chat in the sauna after. Like, two naked people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. It's one of the things where it's trying to get that balance, Joe. It's like you want to make it fun. You don't want to take it all so, so serious, but it can be difficult. Like, it's trying to get that fine line. I think it's just walking that and correcting it as a thing, because sometimes you can be too in the pit and you see all these hardcore bodybuilders that live for the hack squat and they're training so hardcore that they're logging their lifts, and then they're like, I used to be annoyed at myself whenever I didn't progress a lift 1 week. Like,
yeah,
that's why I've taken breaks from my logbook and stuff, Joe, where like you're not trying to chase progression every session. Just let's train off how I feel intuitively. Like, yes, I'm going to train hard as fuck, but like if I get the same reps as last week, I'm not going to almost beat myself up. Whereas I would have been like, oh my God, I missed that set, that I'm going to have to take 5 minutes and go again. Joe, which is just so fucking extreme.
Well, that's another thing. It's like the gym is a great thing and it's great for a lot of things, but it can't be everything either.
That's the one thing I would want to highlight. If the gym is your personality, you're one born bastard. Like, don't get me wrong, that's coming from me.
Yeah. Like, I'm not against CrossFit. I actually quite love CrossFit, but if that is your personality and that's all you have, and I know the great things about CrossFit, the community thing, it's a superb, superb, superb thing. But if that's all you have and that's all you identify as, all you do is train, all you post about is like doing your runs and your Strava and your fucking lifts, that maybe that's a life that you have at the moment, you want to have at the moment. But there's going to be a time where you're going to look back and go, what the fucking planet was I on? Because maybe you strike it lucky. Maybe you strike it lucky and find a fella or a lady that's into the exact same thing.
But even at that, then your life just revolves around that. And then
I was about to say that. It turns
low. It's like if your career, everything is... Like, I remember going to like a course before and it was like, Joe, like he was like, oh, Joe... fitness course, and he was like, right, look, we're gonna go through this. He was like, tell us something about yourself, and he was like, it's not allowed to be gym related. And he was like, your hobby cannot, like, tell me your hobbies. And he goes, if you don't have a hobby outside the gym or something interesting, he goes, you need to sort that, because he goes, you'll not last in the game. And I was like, that's fucking bang on.
Yeah, like somebody said to me before about you need a female DJ, you need to go out with a female DJ, and I was like, that's the fucking last thing I need.
See, I quite like the look of a female gym. Like, I enjoy the look of a female that's into the gym loads, but like...
But there's into the gym, and there's into the gym. There's a female that goes to the gym, or there's a female that fucking lives in the gym.
Yeah, see, there's a balance. No. I don't know. It's person by person. You get people like you'll get females who can compete, and they're not like nuts. Like, just like, you'll get that same as men who compete. Did you fuck, what time are we at there? I don't want to run.
We're 45. We'll start wrapping her up. I am sweating buckets here because I'm wearing a hoodie.
So next week we'll do the dating thing, because I put up the on the Instagram about the dates. So we'll do that in the anonymous Q&A.
What's the dating thing?
I put up being like, oh, Joe, somebody asked me about how to flirt with women, and I said, look,
come to the red man.
If my sister and Johnny want to pick out a woman, I'll DM her and then put up the post.
So Johnny, who? Well, you didn't come to me. Fucking, now we know where the stands are.
Was chatting to them at the minute. Yeah, you can pick them.
No, I'd line you up for disaster.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'll get you to pick
mine. Shout out to the staff in the Europa Hotel last night who listened to the podcast. Couple of guys, couple of fellas. And
big love.
Shout out especially to the guy who helped me downstairs with all the equipment. But shout out to you. He's from Armagh. Cleavey. Shout out to the Cleavey boy. I forget your name. He knows I think he knows you from uni loosely.
Probably does.
I think he says he knew your friends from uni.
Right, on that note, look, enjoy the week. Let us know anything you need. And please don't be afraid to ask us with topics and that, because I was a bit fucking scattered. But yeah, look, have a good one.
I like that podcast. I think that one will go down well, actually.
We'll see. And we'll see you in the next one next week.
Cheers.
Hasta la vista. ¡Viva la México!